So good morning. My name is Ethan Thomas, and this is my lovely wife, Grace, and our one-year-old son, Isaiah. Grace and I are so thankful how Lord has written our story and how he has saved us from many of the hardships in which so many people face. We are both blessed to grow up in Christian homes, and we put our faith and trust in Christ at a young age. We were baptized in high school at ages 14 and 15. It was in high school we both had a desire to commit our lives to the Lord and serve Him, but we were thinking in the context of the local church. Grace went to Taylor University in Upland, Indiana, where she received a degree in Christian Educational Ministries, and I attended Crossroads Bible College in Indianapolis, and I graduated with degrees in Biblical Counseling, which would be ACBC Counseling to be more specific, and also graduated with a degree in Business. Following college, I started working at a metal fabrication shop, and this has taught me the trade skill of welding. And I was thinking the same question you are thinking right now. Why in the world would you go to Bible school and then all of a sudden work as a welder? Well, 3 years ago, Grace and I started on this journey that has led us to be with you here this morning. We are attending our church's missions conference in September of 2015, and Lord placed on our hearts a burden to consider the possibility of serving Christ, serving our Lord, in another country. So we ended up going on what we call a vision trip, just to learn and see the ministry in which the Lord, BMW is doing, and also just see the work in which the Lord is doing in those countries. So we went to Indonesia, and we didn't feel called there, so we went to South Africa the following year, and it was on that trip we both felt the Lord leading us and partner with the Grace Generation 2 team. So we are missionaries with Biblical Ministries Worldwide, which is comprised of over 500 missionaries serving in 45 different countries. Our specific mission, which is up on the screen, is church planting among the Zulus in rural South Africa. So the passage of Scripture that has radically changed our lives comes from Colossians 3. This has kind of been the passage of Scripture that we've really hung on to as we were wrestling with whether or not the Lord was calling us to serve as missionaries. So if you have your Bibles with you, feel free to turn with me to Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. It's also on the screen. We'll spend just a few minutes just diving into what these verses have to say. And it reads, "If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." So we know that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Colossians to instruct the early church there in Colossae. He realized that society could hurt the integrity of Christian faith and practice. So he addresses some of the same issues our churches face today. The main focus of Colossians chapters 1 and 2 is on the supremacy of Christ and the work in which he accomplished. Colossians 3 focuses on the practical application of the truths taught in the previous chapters. Now chapter 3 is very similar to Ephesians 4. More specifically, Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. In biblical counseling, we call that section of Scripture the put-off, put-on process. And it reads, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." So Colossians 3 presents the same idea, but in a slightly different manner. So Colossians 3 begins with the idea of a renewal of mind, a change in thinking. In order for true, genuine, lasting change to take place, you not only have to put off your old self, the bad habits, and put on the new self with good habits, but there needs to be a change of mind, renewal of mind. And that's what we're getting to the heart of the matter. If we just simply stop doing this and start doing this, you don't necessarily have a change in your heart and life. So we want to focus our time this morning by focusing on the change in thinking or renewal of mind. So we know from reading verse 1 here in Colossians 3 that Paul is writing and addressing believers, those who have been born again and have placed their faith in Christ. If then you have been raised with Christ. So we know from Scripture that believers are no longer ruled by this world, but they have the ability to overcome their sin through the help of the Holy Spirit. The word seek in verse 1 means to seek with an ambition, a desire, an urgency. So it requires effort on the part of the believer. So what is it that the believer should be putting forth effort and energy into seeking? It says the things that are above. We should be seeking to align our thoughts, our desires, our goals, our ambitions with God's. This may mean, though, that we need to put to death some of our earthly and fleshly desires. By stating that Christ is seated at the right hand of God, it affirms that the work in which he came to accomplish has been completed. Therefore, we have hope and assurance that though this world is temporary, we have much to look forward to. We have assurance of our redemption and that we can live and spend eternity with Christ in heaven. And this is the foundation in which Grace and I stand on and rest in, and gives us the motivation to go to a foreign country and proclaim the gospel. It's because of the work in which Christ has done. Verse 2 begins with the word set. The Greek verb for this word emphasizes an ongoing decision. So it's not simply a one-time decision in which you decide one day to set your mind on things that are above. Instead, it's a daily decision we have to make. Because every decision we make is either made with an earthly mindset, which is focused on temporary, or an eternal mindset, which is focused on the everlasting. It's easy to know, reading from these verses, what mindset we should have, but if we think about it, many times our actions are contrary. I was just even thinking this morning, why do I not step through the door that the Lord gives me to share the gospel with someone? Well, if we have an eternal mindset, we'll willingly step through that door and share. But if we're thinking of more of the earthly mindset, the temporary things, we're thinking, well, now's not really a good time. I got to get to, you know, disappointment, or, well, I don't want to ruin this friendship, or, you know, maybe now's not the right time. So we're thinking more earthly in that regard. We need to focus our thoughts and value things that last. If you look about this room, there's only two things in this room that are going to last forever. And that's the Word of God and our souls. The only thing you can take to heaven with you is people. And that is the one thing we should really be focusing on and spending energy and effort into. But many good things can easily become idols. For Grace and I personally, we were really excited to feel called to South Africa, but it's been overwhelming. Grace and I are very close to our immediate families, and even extended family. We come from a small farming community. And so we were wrestling with this. You know, do we leave our family? Do we leave what we've grown up with? Go to a foreign country? And so the question comes to mind, well, is family a good thing? Well, we know from Scripture it is. It was established back in Genesis. But family can become one of the biggest obstacles in people becoming missionaries. Either we, as a couple, don't want to leave our family, or our parents and siblings are not supportive of that decision. And so Grace and I are so thankful that our parents have been supporting us in this, encouraging us to obey the Lord in this way. But being missionaries wasn't part of our plan for our lives. If you asked us when we first got married, are you going to be missionaries in 3 years? We would say absolutely not. But the Lord has written our story differently. So these verses have been reminding us that if we are setting our minds on things above, if we are aligning our thoughts, our goals, our desires with God's, then we need to hold our lives and plans with an open hand. God's been teaching us that His plan is best and His way is perfect. And I'm thankful for His continual work in our hearts and lives, even though the process has been painful at times. Because so often we want to hold tightly onto our own plans. But through being in God's Word daily, prayer, fellowship with a body of believers just like you, we can stay yielded to what the Lord has called us to do. Verses 3 and 4 continues to give encouragement to the believer. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Since Christ has completed the work, we can live in such a way that we have confidence of being His, living for Him, and then with Him in glory. This life is temporary. In the book of James, he says, our life is a vapor. So Grace and I really want to be obedient to what the Lord has called us to do in the time in which He's given us. I really like how Warren Wiersbe summarizes these four verses. He says, in brief, Paul says, live up to what Christ has done for you. Live up to what Christ has done for you. So it is my prayer this morning that this passage of Scripture is an encouragement and a challenge. That you'll set your mind on things above, things that last, and not on this earth. And that you can also see how the Lord has used this passage in Grace and I's lives and has led us to the point in serving Him in South Africa. Grace and I are thankful for this process and looking forward to what the Lord has in store for us. So here's a map of South Africa. Many people do not realize that on the continent of Africa, there is an actual country called South Africa. The population is roughly 52 million. There are 11 official languages, including Zulu, Afrikaans, Xhosa, and English. South Africa has an unsettled history with apartheid policies enforced by the National Party, enforcing a system of segregation from 1948 until 1994. This has caused a lot of racial tension. Nelson Mandela was elected president in 1994 after South Africa's first universal election. This meant that whites, coloreds, and blacks were all allowed to vote for the first time. South Africa has high unemployment rate. The unemployment rate is around 30%. Now, this does not include day laborers. Now, day laborers are those who congregate on street corners waiting for someone to drive up and hire them for that single day. If you included day laborers as unemployed, like the United States would, the unemployment rate would be around 60%. So as you can imagine, this leads to very high crime. An interesting fact, though, is that the drivers used the left-hand side of the road because it was established by Britain. And our U.S. driver's license are valid there, which I'm still wondering why. But South Africa is also home to a wide variety of animals, including lions, leopards, hippopotamus, giraffes, zebra, and some of the most feared and poisonous snakes in the world, the green and black mamba and the spitting cobra. The ministry in which we'll be serving is located just south of Durban in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, right where the circle is at on the screen. Now here's a picture that gives an overview of the ministry in which Grace and I will be a part of. So a local South African church led by South Africans, Grace Baptist of Amanzimtoti, so Grace Toti for short, at the very top, and a team of experienced missionaries have already begun the work of establishing churches among the Zulu people. Grace Toti provides oversight and is the home base of operation. They've had numerous pastors. They're saying couple hundred pastors, having a Zulu pastor desiring to be trained. So a seminary is being established to equip them. An estimated 90% of African pastors have no theological education. And it's been neat to see how God has provided a nonprofit building and property that the lady had him sign a lease at way below the market value, and they just transitioned like what would be our LLC, just transition that right over into the seminary. A 10,000-volume library has been donated, and a volunteer faculty of seven South African pastors and missionaries are already ready to begin teaching there. So the goal is to get the seminary established by this January in 2020, having the first classes. On the bottom left, the three dark orange boxes are current church plants and outreach ministries. The two orange boxes on the right are potential church plants. I want to spend most of our time this morning talking about the first church plant, Entebbene, and the Seven Rivers Outreach Ministry. This ministry is unique because it not only focuses on church planting, but also orphan care. Lord willing, this will be the specific church plant and ministry Grace and I will be involved with. So why the name Seven Rivers Outreach? It received its name because you have to cross the same river seven times in order to get there. Our main goal and focus is church planting. This consists of evangelism, discipleship, leadership development. With the church plant, Grace and I will be involved in building relationships, sharing Christ, having Bible studies, and mentoring men and women. The Entebbene Church has around 15 regular attendees currently and meets at a community building where a daycare operates throughout the week. You can see the building on the screen. Seven Rivers Outreach is focused on creating and establishing orphan care funded by a 75-acre for-profit farm. The need for orphan care is great in this country, mainly due to HIV/AIDS. As we were there in 2017, we took a drive just to see the surrounding area of where this ministry is located. On our drive, we went past this home, which we would think would be more of a shack or a shed out back. And in the doorway was this young boy. And we asked the missionary couple we were with if they knew the story behind the family that lived there, if they knew, you know, had any outreach to that family. And they said, well, to the best of their knowledge, the boy was around 11 years old. He lost his last living parent the week before. So we asked, well, where will he go or what will he do? And they said, well, more than likely, since he's still there at his parents' house, that's where he'll live by himself and take care of himself. As Grace mentioned, in the Zulu culture, it's normally the nearest relative that takes someone in. But sometimes the relative isn't willing or not able to. And even if they do take someone in, it doesn't mean that they'll receive loving care, like Liana's story. Her family took her in, yet she still faced verbal and physical abuse. So there are around 4 to 5 known orphan-led homes in this area where this 11-year-old boy will now maybe take in younger kids than himself, maybe some older kids than himself, and together they'll care for one another. And I think probably the saddest part about it is that oftentimes these children are targeted, they're preyed upon because of their vulnerable state. So right now, there's regular evangelistic outreach in the community and in the schools. South Africa no longer wants organizations providing long-term residential orphan care. So, how do you care for orphans and vulnerable children if they no longer want this kind of long-term residential care? Well, the solution to that is to establish what they call a TOLA center. And this is to aid in after-school ministries, such as Bible and character clubs, similar to like what our Awana program would be. Homework help, teaching English, and more. In Isi Zulu, as you probably have already figured out, the word TOLA means discovery. And this would be the hub for home visits, where you'd have social workers visiting the homes of orphan kids and vulnerable children. And they found that if somebody regularly visits these homes, then the people in the community know that, and oftentimes their rate of abuse drops dramatically. And there would also be the Center for Job Skills Training. Grace and I are excited to use the gifts which the Lord has given us, teaching children welding, music, in other ways, in discipleship, to be able to come alongside the Zulu people in a practical way to open up doors for the furtherance of the gospel. However, there are areas of expertise that are still needed. Our team still needs a social worker who can train African social workers, a nurse, and elementary education teachers. The need for education assistance is big because students only need to attain 30% on tests in order to pass their tests and also to move on to the next grade. Another reason is that the South African education system requires all subjects to be taught in English after the fourth grade. So just picture with me, you go in public school, homeschooled, whatever, you go, everything's taught in English through fourth grade, and all of a sudden, fifth grade comes around and everything's taught in Spanish. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure I'd be lucky to get 30% on all my tests. And so it's not uncommon for students to graduate illiterate and even just drop out of school. So maybe someone in here went to school to be a social worker, a nurse, or a teacher. Have you ever considered the possibility of using those skills in another country to share the gospel? Grace and I would love to talk to you and ask that you prayerfully consider this opportunity to serve the Lord. If you look on Google Maps, this is the satellite view of the area in which we'll be serving. For our first year, we plan to live in or near Amanzimtoti. The first year will be an orientation year, which will include opportunities to serve at the local church, while language acquisition and cultural adaptation will be our primary focus in ministry. We're excited. We just got done with a training in Atlanta, Georgia, Lawrenceville, Georgia, to be more specific, at BMW headquarters, and we were talking to our team leaders over there, and they're telling us how they've been using the Bible with their tutor to practice their reading, go over words, phrases. And so this just builds a natural bridge of friendship with their tutor, and they can read passages of Scripture that apply specifically to their lives and also their need for the gospel. And so many times we don't think of language learning as ministry, but it's just neat to see how they very much can, you can very much use this as a ministry tool. Right where the gold star is at is where the Seven Rivers Outreach Ministry is located in conjunction to Amanzimtoti. It's roughly a 30-minute drive. The yellow circles represent current church plants and potential church plants. It is the desire of the team that the gospel would spread like wildfire through the multiple church plants being established, through the equipping of the Zulu pastors, so that the Zulu people would be reached for the gospel. So I've talked a lot about, I've mentioned Zulu people, so who are they? The Zulu people have the largest population out of all the other people groups in South Africa. They're around 10 million. So what do the Zulu people believe? They believe that a supreme being exists, but is not involved in everyday life. They practice ancestor worship, where they see their ancestors as intermediaries between them and the spirit world. They call on their ancestors for blessing and guidance by offering sacrifices. Ancestors can present themselves in various forms, such as dreams, illnesses, or as snakes. According to Zulu beliefs, non-poisonous snakes are said to carry the spirit of great fighters and warriors, sometimes women or children. Depending on your location, it can vary some. So here's a question for you. If you're ministering among the Zulu people and you're in one of their homes, all of a sudden a snake is slithering right towards you, and it's non-poisonous. What do you do? Well, your response should not be what it would be if it were here, which I think most of our reactions would be either kill it, scream, or run away. Instead, we are informed you need to remain calm, try not to bring attention to it. But thankfully, when we were there for a short time, we weren't put in that situation, but it'll be interesting to see how we do respond if we're put in that situation. There have been efforts to share the gospel among the Zulus, but the gospel has become syncretized with traditional African beliefs, such as ancestor worship. There is great need for sound biblical teaching and training of Zulu leaders so that the people will be taught correct doctrine. This is why the seminary to this Grace Generation 2 ministry is a vital part. And incredible to see how the Lord has opened doors to help equip the African church. It's exciting to see that the Lord is working among the Zulu people. Right in the middle of that map is where Seven Rivers Outreach Ministry property is located. They currently own 75 acres of land. They're building infrastructure for profitable farm as they raise the money. So the next project on the list is constructing a fence. This is to help prevent theft and for safety of those on the property. So right now, they generate income from 250 macadamia nut trees, selling eggs and chickens, along with making necklaces. One of the awesome parts about this ministry, and one of the reasons Grace and I was really attracted to joining this ministry, is that the great team that the Lord already has established there. Not only are we joining a team of missionaries, but we're also joining nationals. So there's three South African pastors, Pastor Des, Pastor Ayanda, and Pastor Pakamani. Pictured on the screen, though, are some of the missionary couples we're partnering with. The Kemps are bottom right. The Smiths family is top right. Dan and Deb Willoughby, bottom left, and David and Karen Brown, which, talking to Pastor Josh before this morning, he's actually met them, which is kind of crazy, in Atlanta. But we're so thankful for the relationship that we have with Dave and Karen Brown, who's our team leaders. Our sending church, Tri-County Bible Church in Rensselaer, Indiana, has supported the Browns since the 90s. And so Grace and I are thankful for being able to know that we can call on them if we need anything and be able to just learn from all of these missionaries who have years of experience, who either grew up on the mission field or have served for numerous years. So here's a picture that was taken on that property. The farm is situated in a valley, so you can kind of see the topography of the land. Where Grace and I are from in Indiana, it is flat, and you can see 4 miles. So it's very different. Here's another view, and more of an aerial view looking back the opposite direction. You can see the trees on the right, the macadamia nut trees, and some of the buildings on the property. Here's one of the river crossings. As I mentioned before, Seven Rivers received its name because you have to cross the same river 7 times. What I didn't tell you, though, is that 3 times you drive over it and 4 times you drive through it. So as you can see from the picture on the screen, this is one of the river crossings you have to drive through. This picture was taken during the dry season, during the winter months. During the rainy season, the river will get high enough where it's dangerous to ford it. So along the side, they put these nice little concrete blocks. So it's nice so you can cross the river without getting your feet wet when the river's lower. But we're informed that those blocks are simply to keep vehicles from being swept on downstream. So as you can see from the picture, I told Grace, I think they could stand to be a little closer together than what they are, if that's their purpose. But along the riverbank, there's a plant that grows wild containing a gray-hued bead. The ladies use these beads to make necklaces. This provides an income for them. We also have necklaces on our table out there if you want to look, and we also have some for purchase if you want to support this ministry in this way. Right now, we have the privilege of seeing how God will raise up prayer and financial partners. We covet your prayers and ask that you would commit to praying for us faithfully, becoming a prayer warrior. If you want to receive our monthly updates, we have a sign-up sheet as well on our table. You can write your email address down and then check beside it whether or not you want to commit to praying for us faithfully. The book that Biblical Ministries Worldwide has put out called The Prayer War is a great resource in knowing how we can specifically be praying for missionaries. We also have some of these on our table. Would you also consider making a kingdom investment by partnering with us through finances? Our goal is to be fully funded by the end of the year when we can apply for our visas, our 3-year visa, and leave for South Africa in January. This graph shows where we're at. We currently have just over 63% of our monthly financial support. We have partners giving anywhere from $10 a month to $600 a month, and we're thankful for every single one of them. Currently, if we had 25 partners at $100 a month, we would meet our goal. Below that, MTI stands for Mission Training International. This is linguistics and cross-cultural training that will take place in Colorado Springs in a month from now. So this will help us learn how to learn the Zulu language. Thankfully, the Lord has allowed me to continue working as a welder and metal fabricator. I have a Christian employer, so our deputation looks a little different than some people. All the money we receive just goes to our outgoing expenses, to our trainings, and we're able to live off of our income that I've been able to continually, sustainably work. So currently we have 77% of our outgoing expenses, and we should have all of those here pretty soon. But for in order to leave for the field, our organization requires us to have 100% in all categories. So we just ask that you prayerfully consider coming alongside of us in this way. But please pray for us. As I mentioned, monthly financial support, this is our biggest financial need. Secondly, pray that we'll rely on the Lord to provide our support. We diligently contact churches and individuals to share ministry with, but we know it's ultimately the Lord will provide in His timing. Third, pray for Zulu language learning. Grace and I are learning 10 new words and phrases each month to get a head start before we arrive. This past month, we changed it up a little bit and learned a Bible verse. So we learned Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In Zulu, this reads, Lapo Nasaba, Ngibeka Itemba Lamikue. So the Zulu language, though, does have its difficulties. There are three letters in the Zulu language that have a different click. The X, the Q, and the C. So the X is a giddy-up sound like you would do to a horse. Out of the corner of your mouth, out of your mouth. So feel free, join in, practice with me. And the word on the screen is an official people group and language in South Africa. You might have heard me say it earlier. It's Xhosa. 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 So you do the click and say the word. Second word means I don't understand. And of course, that one has to have a click. And this one's probably the hardest one for me. It's making like a popping sound with putting your tongue to the roof of your mouth and popping it down. And so you pronounce this word, Ongi Hondi. I didn't do it very good. Ongi Hondi. Ongi Hondi. And the third letter, the C, is a tisk tis sound, which I heard this a lot from my mom growing up. And this word means please. And you say, Nya Hela. Nya Hela. Nya Hela. And last of all, pray for comfort and strength in saying goodbyes. It's challenging, as I said, we're close to our families, but it's challenging sometimes to think about we want to just treasure every moment we have with them as we celebrate birthdays and holidays with them for one last time for several years. And so just pray for us, but also pray for them, because it's a sacrifice for them too. So this has just been a brief overview. So if you have questions, feel free to talk to Grace or myself afterwards. We'll do our best to answer any questions you have, but there's still so much that we have yet to learn. But we greatly appreciate the opportunity to share our ministry with you and how the Lord's worked in our lives and working in South Africa. Throughout this journey, Grace and I have been reminded that God does not change. He is faithful. His grace is sufficient regardless of our situation. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, But he, Jesus, said to me, Paul, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, Paul says, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Because of God's work in our hearts and lives, we believe that God's plan is better than our own. We know there's a cost to following God wholeheartedly, but there's great reward, namely being with Christ in glory. We're on this journey and motivated to live for the Lord because of one thing, and that's the gospel, the work in which He has done in our lives. We want to share that with other people. Now, we're not all called to serve as missionaries overseas. We're all called to be a light and a witness where we're at. So my question to you is, how can you live out the truth from Colossians 3, fixing your eyes on the end reward, having an eternal perspective, and not on the fleeting temporary things of this life? We cannot do any of this in our own strength, only through the power of the Lord. Thank you.